I have lost count of the number of reality shows that are currently being shown on TV, but I know where it all began. That's Survivor, which is now running in its 32nd season since starting in the year 2000. Survivor's slogan says it all: outwit, outplay, outlast. And in every episode you watch, you see every participant making schemes and lies. Now, those schemes and lies are secret to the rest of the contestants themselves, but they are open to the viewers. So the viewers get to see what are the lies and what are the schemes, and they get to see that most of those who win are the best liars, the best schemers. And it is conveying the message that to survive in this world, you must be clever. You must know how to deceive. You must know how to scheme. The honest, the nice, and the pleasant are the ones left behind. It is a rat race out there, a dog-eat-dog contest. And those who are nice have no chance. Now, we may be buying into that mentality without realizing it. Baka hindi natin alam, tinatanggap na natin ang ganyang pag-iisip na para makaabante ka, para sumulong ka, umunlad, magtagumpay sa mundo, eh dapat kang makipagsabayan, makipagkompetensya sa mga pandaraya, mga panluloko. And we need to watch our minds. Mantayan natin ang ating isip. And we are looking into very exemplary models in the stories we have been studying. In the book of Daniel, we go back to the history of Israel, when because of Israel's unfaithfulness, the covenant curses that God has stipulated in His covenant with Israel are now coming to pass. Ang mga sumpa na binabala ng Panginoon sa Israel kapag siya ay hindi naging matapat, nangyayari na. At kasama na rito ang sila'y maging bihag, alipin ng mga banyagang bansa. And we are going back to the history of Israel when the Northern Kingdom has practically been lost, assimilated with pagan and Gentile nations. On the other hand, the Southern Kingdom of Judah will also be exiled to the superpower of that period, Babylon. But at least in the case of Judah, they tried to maintain their distinction. Pinanatili nila ang kanilang pagkakaiba. And that is the book of Daniel. In the book of Daniel, we will see the record of the story surrounding the young man Daniel. Although, as we saw last month, there is a side story to the three friends of Daniel. Now, the intent of this book is to show that Yahweh remains the Most High despite the exile of His people. In fact, the very title Most High occurs more in Daniel than in any other books of the Bible combined. So, ang gusto kong ipakita ni Daniel dito sa pagsusulat ng kanyang aklat ay si Yahweh pa rin ang kataas-taasan. Maaring napapalibutan sila ng napakaraming mga Diyos-Diyosan, Diyos-Diyosan ng mga banyagang bansa, ngunit nananatiling si Yahweh ang kataas-taasang Diyos. Now, another peculiarity of Daniel that I have told you is that a big portion of this book is written in Aramaic and not in Hebrew. And chapters 2 to 7, in fact, are written completely in Aramaic, and our portion, which we studied last month, chapter 3, as well as the portion we are studying this month, is in that portion where Aramaic is used. Now, that shows that the writer is using a more international language than the local language of Hebrew. Now we come to the period when Babylon has fallen to a greater power, and that is the Medo-Persian Empire. And in chapter 6, where we are introduced to a ruler in the city of Babylon, introduced as Darius the Mede. Now Darius won Daniel won the favor of Darius, which provoked the jealousy of his fellow satraps, in fact, fellow presidents, as they were called. Now, this is like any workplace today. Yung mga saan tayo nagtatrabaho, nakaka engkwentro tayo ng mga taong naiinggit, naninibugho sa ating pagtatagumpayan. At ganitong hinarap ni Daniel. And these satraps and fellow workers of Daniel made a deceitful scheme to have Daniel trapped. The problem was, there was nothing in Daniel's work that would expose to them any fault of Daniel. And here we see how unbelievers pay attention to the faith of a disciple whose work testimony is trustworthy. At yan ang inungkat natin noong nakaraang linggo, ang patutuo mo sa iyong trabaho, ang patutuo mo sa iyong gawain. Napakahalaga niyan bilang mananampalataya. Huwag mo isipin ang pagiging mananampalataya ay kung anong ginagawa mo sa simbahan, kung paano ka sumamba, paano ka magbasa ng Biblia, kasama ng kapwa mananampalataya. Ang inungkat natin noong nakaraang linggo, paano ka nakapagpapatutuo sa iyong pagiging mananampalataya sa iyong trabaho, sa iyong gawain. And that's what we saw. Now, this afternoon, we shall see how the schemers and the liars among the enemies of Daniel will raise the notch higher in their desire to trap Daniel. Now, in the announcement this morning, you were asked to read Daniel 6 from verse 1 to verse 16, and I shall assume that you have done so, and I will read only some strategic texts this afternoon. In Daniel chapter 6, let's read verses 10 and 11. Daniel 6, verses 10 and 11. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he had done previously. Then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and plea before his God. And you know what happened, how they went to Darius to raise the issue, and then Darius could not in any way do anything concerning the law he himself has signed. And what we'll read now in verse 16, Daniel 6 and verse 16, then the king commanded, and Daniel was brought and cast into the den of lions. The king declared to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve continually, deliver you. Now the envy of the fellow leaders of Daniel leads them to make a scheme to entrap him. Now the challenge on Daniel is whether in the face of this pressure, will he be consistent with his conviction? Itong hamon kay Daniel, sa harap ng ganitong paggigipit, siya ba ay magiging consistent, magiging patuloy ba siya sa kanyang pananalig? And precisely this is what impressed Darius of Daniel. Now notice the words of Darius when he told Daniel, when he was being cast into the den of the lions, the God whom you serve continually. He repeats it in verse 21 after the lions proved to be ineffective in what they were intended to do. In verse 21 again, the same words, the God whom you serve continually. In other words, what impressed Darius was not so much that Daniel was serving his God. Every idolater serves his God. But what impressed Darius about Daniel was that he was serving his God continually. It is like Darius was telling Daniel, you would not have given me any problems if you just serve your God and then not continually. But the problem is you are serving your God continually. And we can translate that word continually with the word I use in my title, consistently. Bakit tuloy-tuloy kang maglingkod sa iyong Diyos? Maraming mga mananampalataya ngayon na maaaring makikita mong naglilingkod sila sa Diyos sa panahon ng kanilang kaginhawaan, subalit hindi mo na makikita ang naglilingkod kapag sila'y nagigipit sa kanilang mga buhay. At ito ang sinasabi ni Darius kay Daniel, and this is something that should be a challenge to us. It's like Darius is telling Daniel, you would not be in trouble the way you are now in the lion's den if you were not serving your God continually. Your problem is you are serving your God continually. If you were not so consistent, you would not be in this mess. But that's precisely the challenge of Daniel to us. Not only that, like him, we serve God, but do we, like him, serve God continually or consistently? And this is my message this afternoon. The courage of the believer's conviction is demonstrated by consistency under pressure. Ang katapangan ng pananalig ng mananampalataya ay napapamalas sa pagtutuloy-tuloy sa harap ng kagipitan. The courage of the believer's conviction is demonstrated by consistency under pressure. Now, a person, a Christian, may be living by his beliefs while in his comfort zone. Habang maginhawa, maaring namumuhay siya ng ayon sa kanyang pananalig. Pero kapag nandiyan na ang kagipitan, pag siya'y nagigipit na, maaari siyang bumigay. A person may live by his beliefs in his comfort zone, but under pressure, he may wilt. So in other words, the proof is not that at any given time, you are living according to your belief, but rather under pressure. What will you do? And Daniel here is showing us that there will be those moments when we will be forced to make a choice between alternatives which will demonstrate whether we are courageously consistent or not. What are those choices? First, genuineness versus deception. Pagkatotoo laban sa panlilinlang. Genuineness versus deception. And secondly, conviction versus convenience. Pananalig laban sa kaginhawaan. Conviction versus convenience. Those are the choices that will prove whether we are consistent or not. So first of all then, genuineness versus deception. Now to survive, according to survivor value, you must scheme, make deceiving alliances, and then you win. And I've seen many contestants who make several alliances. You know, kakampi nila ito, pero may iba pa silang kakampi para siguruhin lang na iba ang ibobotong palalabasin sa contest. Well, that's survivor value. Make alliances only for your own interest. And this is exactly what the enemies of Daniel decide to do. The only way to entrap Daniel is to deceive. And you will find this if you have read the passage asked of you this morning. What did they present to Darius? Ang sabi nila, lahat kami na mga namumuno ay nagkaisa-isa na ganito ang gawin mong batas sa loob ng 30 araw. And that's a lie. And they knew it's a lie. Because Daniel was not into the scheme. Daniel was not part of the scheme. And Daniel was the highest of the officials. It was his word that mattered most. But the way they presented it in verse 7 is, all of us, lahat kami, nagkaisa-isa, ay panlilin lang iyon. And they have rightly calculated that Daniel is too much a man of integrity to compete with them by survivor value. But if we take in all the story, what it teaches us is that even when deception appears at advantage, integrity will always have the better portion in the end. Kahit pa parang lumalamang ang panlilinlang, sa kahulihan, mananaig ang integridad, mananaig ang katapatan. Now, the object of deception here is Darius. And probably they read enough of the pride of Darius
and hubris, it is similar to the case of the three friends. So here, the subjects of the riots are put to a loyalty test as much as the three friends and the people in Daniel 3 were put to a loyalty test. But while the three friends were pressured to do something against their conscience, now here in Daniel it is quite the opposite. The three friends were told what to do, and it is against their conscience. Here, Daniel is being told what not to do. Sinasabi sa tatlong kaibigan, anong gawin ninyo at laban ito sa kanilang konsensya. Kay Daniel, ang sinasabi ay anong hindi mo gagawin. At ito rin ay laban sa kanyang konsensya. Eh, siguro magtataka tayo, why in the first place does the Darius agree to this scheme? We know from the case of Cyrus that Persian policy, in fact, is to tolerate the religion of their subjects. In other words, they tolerated the religions of the various lands that they have conquered. So, bakit tumayag si Darius na gawin itong panlilinlang na ito? Some scholars suggest that a real imminent threat is present in the religion of that period known as Zoroastrianism. But whatever motivates Darius, he has inadvertently put Daniel in the most uncomfortable quandary. With a powerful man in Darius on the side of the deceiving company, at this point, deception seems to have won. Parang nanaig ang panloloko. Nanlin lang sila, nagpalin lang itong si Darius, at parang sila'y nananaig. Daniel has always been honest to Darius. And I'm sure it is one reason that Darius is so fond of Daniel, because he finds him very straightforward, very honest. But now that Daniel is a victim of deception, should he still be honest? Should he not employ the same tool of deception? And you probably face the same dilemma in many ways when you are with unbelievers, in competition with work, business, trade. Minsan na nahaharap natin ang ganyang tukso na makipagsabayan sa kanilang panlilinlang, sa kanilang panluloko. Some traders opt for compromises with their products just to gain advantage over customers and their competitors. And why? Because most others are doing it. Eh, parang nalileft behind sila, nahuhuli sila, dahil lang iba, talagang walang pakundangan sa kanilang panlilinlang. Why is there so much corruption in the Bureau of Customs or the Department of Transportation and Communication or the contracts in the Department of Public Works and Highways? All have to do with financial advantage. And we ask, has Daniel given any thought to the option of deception? Naisip kaya ni Daniel na makipagsabayan na rin ang panlilinlang? No, the passage does not show any such thought crossing the mind of Daniel. Pero paano tayo? There's a worldwide study made in America, Europe, Asia, in which the sponsors or the those who sponsored the study had a wallet with money and return address was deliberately dropped. And they studied how many would return the wallet either immediately or to the return address. Now, some countries had 100% return, mostly in Europe. Asia is a shame. Many did not return the money. And that's a test of integrity. Sukatan nyo ng ating katapatan. Makakalamang tayo, may pera na hindi natin pinaghirapan, pero hindi sa atin. Kukunin ba natin? Yan ang pagsubok dito. And the challenge, brethren, is always choose the way of integrity over the quick route of deception. Lagi mong piliin ang daan ng katapatan kaysa sa madalian ng panlilinlang. Don't you wonder, I'm sure you do, why doesn't Daniel just close the windows and pray in secret? Makakapanalangin pa rin naman siya, pakikinggan pa rin siya ni Yahweh. Isara na lang niya ang bintana. Now, I have an answer to that biblically in my second point, but at this point, I just want to focus on genuineness, honesty. Isn't that what some Christians do? They know they should at least thank God for their food. But when they are in the company of unbelievers, they know they will court insult, laughter perhaps. And so anong gagawin nila? Eh, kunwari, nanalangin na sila noon, nagpasalamat na sila noon, basta maitago lang. Is that what you do? Just hide that you are openly thanking God. As simple as that, for your food. Because you're a Christian. There are those who will not talk Christian language in the presence of unbelievers for fear of being treated as not cool. It's not because there is a law of the Medes and the Persians. It's just that they don't want to be laughed at. They don't want to be insulted, not even in the name of Christ. And they choose to hide rather than be genuine. These are people who in Daniel's place will close the windows tight. So ask yourself, do people around you know that you are a Christian? Do people around you know that you believe what you just sang today, the Bible stands, that you are a Bible believer, or even a creationist against the tide of evolution in the academy? Do people around you know that? Or are you too silent, too hidden? Your windows are closed. Do they know if discussion comes up that while you respect the LGBT community, you are against homosexuality, you do not approve of same-sex marriage while respecting those who have that kind of orientation? Well, deception here wins, or seems to win at first. Hiding seems to or sounds the better option, but it is not genuine. And the Bible tells us in Proverbs 19, verse 9, a false witness will not go unpunished, and whoever pours out lies will perish. Because Daniel chooses the way of genuineness, he chooses to be consistent. He has prayed every day of his life in Babylon with his windows open facing Jerusalem. And now that there is a law against it, he will not change his way. That's consistent. And he will suffer for it. Philip Bliss was an associate of D.L. Moody in his evangelistic meetings, and you will find some of his hymns in the Grace Hymns, but unfortunately one of his hymns has not found its way into the pages of the Grace Hymns. It is a children's hymn that says, dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose firm, dare to make it known. And that's the challenge, brethren, dare to make it known. Do you dare to make known that you are a creationist? a Bible believer, a Christian, a Christ follower, amidst a tide of unbelief and infidelity? Well, this is one choice. Genuineness or deception, open or hide. Daniel was consistent. He chose to be open and to be genuine. The second choice is between conviction versus convenience. Pananalig laban sa kaginhawaan. Again, we ask the question, why does Daniel keep on his habit of praying with his windows open, facing Jerusalem, despite the peril? Isn't discreet? Doesn't discreet dictate that he should have just closed his windows? I'm sure he knows that Yahweh will still hear him pray. Eh bakit binuksan pa rin niya? There's a biblical reason. In the only portion or only place in the scripture in the Old Testament that anticipates when God's people will become exiles, this is what Solomon said in his dedicatory prayer for the temple in 1 Kings 8:48 and 49. If they repent with all their mind and with all their heart in the land of their enemies who carry them captive, and pray to you toward their land which you gave to their fathers, the city that you have chosen, and the house that I have built for your name, then hear in heaven your dwelling place their prayer and their plea, and maintain their cause. So here is the one place that anticipates when God's people, the Israelites, will be captives in a foreign land, that they will pray toward the land, toward Jerusalem, toward where the temple has been. And that is what Daniel is doing. Ito ang mismong ginagawa ni Daniel. Hindi natin sinasabing ganito pa rin ang gagawin natin na kinakala makaharap tayo sa Jerusalem. Just like Muslims thinking that by their 5 times of prayer facing Mecca is the way Allah will hear them. No, Jesus said, a time is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem people will worship God. It is no longer the place that matters. But in the time of Daniel, it does. The place mattered then. And the one place that tells the exiles to do is face Jerusalem when they prayed. And that is exactly what Daniel does. This is conviction to him. And this is the difference. Conviction is your set of strongly held beliefs that will not yield to convenience. Pag sinabi nating pananalig, ito ang pinangahawakan mong matibay na hindi mo ibibigay sa kaginhawaan. Now let me tell you, many hold beliefs that however have not turned to conviction. And if your beliefs have not become conviction, in reality, they are just preferences. You know, you prefer that people like your Bible, but they don't. So what do? Keep quiet. You may prefer that there should be no ordinance against praying to your God, but now that there is, close the windows. You may prefer to be a creationist, but in the presence of evolutionists, you keep quiet. This is the symptom of the man with preferences, but with no conviction. He will not be consistent. Now, it is convenient for Daniel to just close the windows, or probably adopt a more subtle posture. Just hide that he is praying to Yahweh facing Jerusalem. But you see what conviction has. Conviction has to deal with the voice of conscience that cannot be silenced. Ganyan ang pananalig. Merong tinig ng konsensya na hindi mapapatahimik. Even in solitude, conscience speaks. And if you have not been true to your conviction, conscience accuses. Our generation of professed Christians today are well taught in the art of opting for convenience. The convenience of silence and hiring, of joining sinful fun, of laughing at coarse jokes, of gossips. And the path of convenience is easy. Just train your conscience not to speak against your behavior. But we need men and women who will not silence their conscience, who will not yield to convenience, who will not close their windows. Among predators, I have said the lion is the king. But actually, the fastest is the cheetah. But the problem with the cheetah is it cannot keep. It cannot endure. It tires so fast. Siguro 10, 15 segundo, pagod na siya, hindi na siya makahabol sa kanyang prey. While the lion keep at it. And we need lions among Christians who will keep at it when it comes to their convictions. Not cheetahs who will run fast a few seconds and then tire out. So I challenge you, how did Daniel do it? This is what we need to do. Exalt the kingdom of God in your belief far above all other powers. This is what Daniel saw. Huwag nating tanggalin ito sa konteksto. Chapter 6 comes after chapter 5. What happened in chapter 5? What happened in chapter 5 is the famous writing on the wall episode. Was the writing on the wall? There's Belshazzar, the last king of Babylon, having a party in which he used the articles of the temple to be used for the service of his gods. And then suddenly a writing on the wall, and Daniel was called to interpret the writing, and the writing was interpreted by Daniel to mean you were weighed and you were deemed short. Tinimbang ka, ngunit kulang. Ayun ang kahulugan. Not only that, Daniel, because he saw the writing of the finger of God no less, had the temerity to rebuke Belshazzar that the God in whose hand is your breath and whose are all your ways, you have not honored. Akalain mong sabihin ni Daniel iyon sa hari, bawat hibla ng iyong hininga nasa kamay ng Diyos at hindi mo siya pinarangalan. Here is a man who ached for the honor of his God. Do you have that? I read the story of a missionary who came back for a furlough in the United States. And as he was eating in the restaurant, the neighboring table had a company in which someone was cursing, almost like a punctuation for every sentence. And in his cursing, he would always use the name of Christ. And the missionary could no longer take it. He approached the table and told the company, "Please, don't use the name of Christ. He is my Lord and Savior. He has done no wrong to you. Don't curse his name." Well, everybody in that company just had to be silent. But he had such ache for the honor of his Lord, he could not bear it when he is being dishonored in his presence. Now, do you have that ache? Meron ka bang ganyang pakiramdam na nasasaktan ka kapag ang dangal ng iyong Panginoon ay nilalapastangan? This is what Daniel felt. So in the presence of the king, he had the temerity, he had the courage to rebuke a Belshazzar
for dishonoring the one he believed to be the Most High. And now, a transfer of power from Belshazzar to Darius and Daniel is simply given that greater vision of the greater power than Babylon and now than even Medo-Persian Empire. So we need this fresh conviction, brethren, concerning the kingly rule of Christ in His kingdom. To believe that it is more powerful than any force. So what is that power that is becoming a pressure on you, that you are being pressured to yield to convenience? And we need to hold to the belief that Jesus, from the time He is risen from the dead, is King. He is seated on His throne, and He is far above all principalities and power. And until you come to bow down to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, you are outside of His grace, and even now you are invited to come to Christ for salvation. And a Christian who is pervaded with conviction of Jesus as King will be the one who is to be consistent with his conviction. At yan ang hamon sa ating ngayong hapon na ito. Saan ka naghigipit? Saan ka maaring tinutulak na magsara ng bintana, magtago, magsikreto sa halip na buksan mo ang katotohanan sa lahat na ikaw ay mananampalataya ng Panginoong Hesukristo. One man that God has used for my own mentorship is John Brown of Harrington, who died in 1858. It was a time when there was very little of institutions to prepare men for the ministry. And what John Brown did was to do a self-study. And he became so proficient at it, very knowledgeable in Hebrew and Greek. When he had not studied in any institution, and a rumor spread out that his knowledge is because of demon possession. Eh, akalain mo yun, nag-aral ka nga, nagtiyaga para matuto na hindi mo magkuha sa ibang institusyon, sasabihin pang naalihan ka ng demonyo. Pero ganun ang nangyari kay John Brown. But that's precisely the point. No matter what people say against you, you want to be known as one who is under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So again, I ask you, where are you being pressured? And are you being consistent with what you believe? Is your belief a conviction or a preference? When you are put to a choice between being genuine or deceiving, do you choose to be genuine? In Daniel's place, are you going to close the window or pray openly as scriptures mandate? We need Christians who are Christians indeed everywhere. Christians who are courageously consistent. Christians who fight the good fight. And that is our last hymn. Fight the good fight with all thy might. Christ is thy strength and Christ thy right. Lay hold on life and it shall be thy joy and crown eternally. Let's close in prayer. Dakilang Diyos, mabuti naming Ama, nawa ngay mahamon kami sa patotoo ni Daniel na nasa paligid ay mga hindi mananampalataya at pinangingibabawan ng mga Diyos-Diyosa ng mga pagano. Ngunit pinanatili niya ang kanyang pananalig at pananampalataya. And we find here the challenge of having the courage of conviction that demonstrates itself by consistency under pressure Like Daniel, we will be put in situations when the alternatives are to be genuine or to deceive. To open the windows and show forth our faith in the Lord Jesus. Or to cower in fear and close the windows. Grant, O Lord, that may we be such men and women who are open about our faith. May we be such men and women who people around us know that we are Bible believers. We are creationists. That we maintain certain moral principles that are against the tide of this world. So help us, Lord, to be genuine and open about our faith and make our set of beliefs to be real convictions, not mere preferences. And so when we are put to a choice between conviction and convenience, make us consistent like Daniel. And that is because he has seen that his God is the Most High. He is the God who writes on the wall to tell even the most powerful kings how they fall short. And we have the Lord Jesus Christ, who since his resurrection is now seated on his throne, King over all. And help us, Lord, to live by this belief that Jesus is King. He is Lord. And make this our conviction, not a mere preference. Put in our hearts that ache for the honor of our God and for the honor of the Lord Jesus. And help us, Lord, to live this out in our day-to-day lives as disciples. We pray all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.